I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, I'm John Holmes. It's The One Show, the podcast that walks behind TV's The One Show and tries to kick its ankle to make it trip over. As ever, part one of this week's ep dropped yesterday. So if you'd like this part two to make any kind of sense, we recommend going back to listen to that first. Or not. Totally up to you. You're your own person. I mean, if I told you to jump off a cliff, would you do it? Probably, if you had to watch The One Show every week. Now you know how we feel. Joining me, Mark Haynes and Jake Yap. We went into a film here about first aid, so
yes.
That was the handbrake turn.
It was a handbrake turn,
but again, it's not a handbrake turn like... Handbrake turns, they used to try and hide them a little bit, and it was to sort of stop the programme, and now we're going this way. This one was just very... We've got a show about first aid. Do you know any first aid? Yeah. I mean, it was just that, you know, let's stop that conversation. We've got some first aid on the show. We're going to talk about first aid. Do you know any first aid to Alexander Armstrong?
Look at that. You are.
That's
that
my impression of Osman.
Get the facts out. Actually, we're doing first aid.
Whose
eyes were increasingly darting back and forth, I thought.
Increasing unease
with the whole thing. Yeah. And he basically said to that, do you know any first aid? And they said, if you saw something, would you be able to... And he basically said, no, I'd turn and I'd run and I'd flee back to my castle and lower the portcullis and liquidate my assets. Like, you know, I'm ready for the storm. Yeah. You know, I have my paramilitary... militia force, and I'm ready for you, fuckers.
He said, he had that thing where he said, well, I come from a long line of doctors.
Do you get involved if somebody has a cut or a bruise?
I come from a long line of doctors, so I'd like to think I should. Yeah. I'd like to think.
Which is that brilliant thing of just going, because your antecedents were something... You've probably got a bit of it through the bloodline. Doesn't work like that, medicine. Doesn't work like that. I come from a long line of doctors, so you're absolutely fine, you know. Oh, these babies are all dead.
The film was in Canterbury, in Kent, right? So specifically, they'd sent somebody down there to a school called... which is a secondary school, and they...
I will say, I've bleeped that out. It's not because it's got, like, a swear word in it, but it's just a school. We probably shouldn't be...
They named it, so I'm naming it. That's all.
I'm in Barton Court Grammar School in Canterbury to see how young people are learning the skills of how to deal with a life-or-death situation.
Oh, all right,
it was all
then.
I want. They were specific about what school
all
it
right,
was.
All right, then, well, I will have put the bleep in on the first one, but I won't do it on this one. This will be clean. John?
Barton Court.
There you go.
Right, so... So they went down to Barton.
No, bleep that one.
Whatever you want. bleep one of the words.
Okay. Yeah, that's been done.
Very good. So they went there, and because a pupil of that school had saved someone's life because he knew CPR, and there's a whole news story about whether or not CPR is going to become part of the national curriculum, so kids could learn it at school, so lives might be saved, which is good. I think that's a good idea. Yep. Matt also thinks it's a good idea. We learned that. But I want to declare a bit of an interest, because on Thursday, the day this went out, I got a message from my friend Andy, who said, Will, that's his son, who goes to that school, is going to be on The One Show tonight. In a strange cross of worlds, John.
Nice.
Will, who I, you know, known since he was a baby, is going to be on The One Show. And so he has an insight into The One Show coming to his school to film this feature that was on.
Great.
Wow.
So let's get him on the phone.
Yes.
Hello, Will.
Hello.
Hi, that's Will. This is Will. Will, as I mentioned, goes to the school that you just bleeped the name of and was in The One Show film. So, Will, how far in advance did you know about The One Show visiting your school?
Well, the day before, we were taking out form time. We got the letter saying that we could sign it if we wanted to be part of the filming.
Yeah. Did anyone not sign it? Did everyone go, The One Show? That's shit. I'm not being in that.
A couple of people forgot. Or just didn't want to be on.
Don't blame them, yeah.
Yeah.
And how many people turned up to do the filming? How many cameramen were there?
There was one cameraman, there was one guy with a mic, and the presenter.
Did you like any of them? Did they seem nice or really horrible?
Yeah, they're all nice. They're really nice.
Not sure that's the answer I wanted. But, but Will, I mean, if that's your truth and you want to stick to it, that's fine. I see the one show have got to you.
So tell us the process then, Will. So, I mean, they came in, disrupted your learning for a day.
Yeah.
And this was all about first aid, right? So talk us through, you know, what they said to you and how they...
Well, we came in and they introduced themselves. And then we started learning about some four letters which corresponded to different, like, things you have to check before you start doing CPR. It was like airway and breathing and... You know, how if you
have you forgotten the other two?
Yeah. Is it ABC?
Yeah, it's Dr. ABC, I think.
Yeah.
Abacus. Yeah, that was an acronym.
Check the throat for apple.
Did you? Because what you were essentially doing, it seemed to me, were you were all leaning on a rubber dummy, trying to squash air in and out of it.
Yeah, well, there was this rubber dummy, and then you pressed the heel of your hand into the middle of the chest, and then you did it for about 30 seconds. Huh.
And then you did it all over again on another angle with the camera somewhere else. Did they make you do it over and over again for hours?
Not for hours, no, but yeah.
Did the rubber thing, the rubber doll, have the face of TV's Matt Baker by any chance?
No.
But they had to refilm it because everyone was just punching it as hard as they could to try and kill it. Yeah. But I did notice, Will, at one point, because the film was about Tom, this guy Tom, who'd saved a life. Because he knew. Is Tom a friend of yours?
No, but I do know him. Okay. I sit next to him.
Yeah.
So, but you sit next to him?
I don't like him.
I do. I sit next to him. I do. Yeah.
Did you know this story before? I mean, how come the one show had found him?
I don't know how they found it, but we've been told that obviously he saved a life in the spring.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how they discovered it, but they interviewed him halfway through the lesson and he went out and talked about it for a bit.
Yeah.
Can I ask, when did you record this? Because there's always a lot of conjecture about how long these films sit on the shelves.
We recorded it in... it was last week sometime. It was like Wednesday or Thursday.
Quite fresh.
Okay. Yeah, so it aired the day after we recorded it.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was really
I have to say, though, Will, having seen you on television, is that in the shot you were in, you didn't appear to be doing much life-saving. You were sort of standing there with your arms folded.
Yeah, that's true. I did get interviewed, but they didn't put it in.
Oh, well, did you swear, Will?
I didn't swear.
Okay. Right. He's only saying that because his dad's listening to me.
Were you doing inappropriate hand gestures?
Quite crass impressions of leading politicians. Can I ask, Will, you're 15, aren't you?
I'm 14.
14. Is it exciting for you, like you at your age to be on television, or does it just
it's
seem...
It's quite exciting, yeah.
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 Have you been on telly before?
I don't think I have.
No, that is quite... I mean, it's thrilling. The first time I was on TV, it seemed like the biggest deal in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was in the background of some, like, local news.
Yeah.
And it's just magic, isn't it?
I was exactly the same. Our school went on an outing to watch a circus or something. And so that was on the local regional news because they'd gone to film the local circus.
World's stupidest class go to circus.
It's true.
Fantastic. Will, if you had the chance to be on the One Show again, would you do it or are you over that now?
I'd do it, yeah, definitely do it.
If Matt Baker swallowed his tongue, would you fish it out?
Yes.
Oh, good man. Yeah. And nice. Just so we can check, have any of the children in the school gone missing since the One Show have been there?
All of them.
I knew it! Will, and for legal reasons, do you give us your consent to put this on a podcast?
I do.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, does his dad? It's all about his dad.
Don't give a shit about his dad. regards to your dad, Will.
Yeah.
Cheers for that.
You too. Bye.
Bye, Will. Thank you.
There you go. See, I thought we'd get some live live coverage of being there in a school when the One Show come to call.
I know it's bad form to have a 14-year-old and then talk behind his back, but I am furious that he didn't slag off the One Show more. I'm really, really upset. Yeah. There was a couple of weird things about that. So one of the opening questions they had when they went into that, when they did that handbrake turn, was, I think they asked Alex, I think it was Matt, he just said, how do you feel about first aid?
First of all, how do you feel about first aid?
What?
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Yeah. Don't care, mate.
Do you know what? I actually loathe it. I think it interferes
fucking disgraceful
with God's plans. It is an affront to God.
Oh. Matt was angered off the back of the film, though, wasn't he? Well, when he said, because this was when Alexander Armstrong sort of said, well, I've played doctors, so maybe I'll pick some of that up. And then Matt just sort of said, well, it's just about confidence, he said.
Yes.
And then Nish called him up on it and just sort of laughed, going, what? So being a doctor's just about confidence?
Yeah.
And then Matt got angry, a little bit angry for being called out, and just sort of said, no, I didn't mean, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I meant, you know.
Well, I mean, I've played doctors. I know how to act like a doctor. Is that the same? Will that work?
Do you think you could do it? You were telling us about straight arms.
It's about confidence. Yeah, I think so.
Is it about confidence? Half of being a doctor is about being confident.
No, I think it is.
Helping out in a situation of need is what I mean. Yeah. You know what I mean? Get on the phone, ring whoever you need to. And...
Get on the phone is what I mean.
Yeah.
And Get on the phone.
It's starting getting funny just going, look, just be proactive. Don't be one of those people standing there filming the thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what you meant by that? That is like a dog whistle to me. It means city people.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Get on the phone, ring whoever you need to, and be the person that's going to be proactive.
Right.
Don't stand there and film the thing.
Now, Zander, we want to talk about your new tour.
Yes.
City people going filming, like, you know.
That could be applied to the one show. Don't just stand there filming things. Yeah.
Ignore
it.
And I mean, the one thing they did have in this is whenever I hear teaching things, my wife is a teacher. And whenever they have things like, oh, you know, it's going to be on the compulsory educational system in Britain in 2020, first aid, there is a part of me that goes, right, how is that going to be funded? Is that going to be central government are going to give you a load more money so you can get a qualified first aider to teach all that? No one ever goes into that. So they're just like, that is a good idea. That is a good idea. It is a good idea, but as long as the money's there. Unusually for the one show, they didn't like have a teacher on and just go, oh, teaching is a shit job, because that is a trope they do. But I was thinking, why are we going, let's get children to do first aid?
Yeah.
Because the people who tend to need first aid are men, right?
I know where you're going with this.
2020, there's going to be loads of perverts outside schools.
Yeah. I'm bleeding from my groin.
Yeah. I've got
it needs pressure on it.
I've got bitten by a bee halfway out of my bum.
Suck out the poison. Suck out the poison.
Terrible idea. I was thinking what we should do is they should bring in first aid courses for adults who have been found guilty of minor offences like speeding.
God, that's... Right, okay. Okay.
If you've done speeding, you then have to do a 2-week first aid course.
Right.
And that way you can put a bit back, having taken a bit out.
Okay.
Right? All right.
Yeah. So like Matt, I've got some strong opinions on first aid.
What I thought, and I'm sorry, guys, but this comes up in every project I've been involved in the world of broadcasting, okay? But all of the dummies they were practicing CPR on were white.
That is
I'm just
true.
Saying that comes up in everything I've worked
absolutely
with.
You are abnormalizing a situation if you see a person of color who is in trouble.
Yeah.
Because you are like, this does not look like that big white torso I'm so familiar with.
Yeah. And I'm not kissing it.
No.
It's basically the gist of what people with the risk of that.
I am so glad that we realised what this piece was about. They presented it as being about first aid. We realise it's about institutional racism.
It is.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It's about maintaining, preserving the white race. Yeah.
That's what
if you're
one...
black, forget it, mate.
I think the one show...
Fuck you.
There's our new show trial.
We should have asked Will about
it's
that.
It's actually that's about an oncoming global race war. And doing field medicine.
And that was the last of the One Show show podcast.
There is something, if you begin watching the One Show and you begin thinking of it as if they're basically giving coded warnings for something you've not been included in, it's a very good way to lose your fucking mind. I'm Mark Haynes.
And I'm Julia Rayside.
And over the next 4 months, we'll be taking you through the highs and lows of Strictly Come Dancing. All the winners.
The losers.
The huge name stars and the other ones.
The inevitable relationship traumas.
The gags.
The pitiful gags.
The awful, awful gags. The wonderful outfits.
The complex structure of bets that could leave you better off by £1 million.
And everything that happens both on and off the dance floor.
It's the curse of Strictly.
Keep listening, subscribing, telling your friends, and dancing!
Appalling.
It's absolutely awful.
Yes. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Oh, there was a good learning moment not long after this as well, where Matt just turned to Angelica Bell and said, "You're the voice of Deliveroo."
Well, I found out today that you are the voice when you ring up. What is it? The Deliveroo.
Why are you bringing that up?
Well, I just
what?
Why did you bring that up?
But in the old days, that would have been the most illegal thing you could do as a BBC presenter.
Yeah.
Is suddenly mention a independent company, a corporation, and just like, "Oh, you're the voice of Deliveroo, aren't you?" What? Why are you talking about this?
Well, the reason why is because Xander, Des O'Connor, for our times, was talking about his forthcoming stand-up show.
Stand-up.
Very no hotly less. Anticipated. Yeah. And he said, I mean, it was one of those, you could see him sort of just desiccate in front of you, because he said, "Well, I've kind of been doing stand-up for a long time." And then instantly realising, "I'm going to get called on this, Nish Kumar's right next to me." Yeah. Shit.
Yes.
I better just own up and say, "It's in the after dinner speaking." So, and Nish shredded him for that, quite rightly.
Yeah.
I've kind of been doing stand up for quite some time. Mm. No, but on the quiet. On the quiet. I do some after dinner things. So yeah.
I've seen you do the
circuit.
Which is quite, you know, and that's a tough circuit, as anyone said, the black tie circuit. It's a very punishing crowd.
Quite pleased at the
makes the Northern please. Circuit look like a picnic.
What do they throw their cravats?
Yes.
He says.
Yes.
He went on from that, which is excruciating, where you're like, "I'm just one of the, you know, the guys I'm doing my sets to paying customers, paying about $3,000 a seat at tables." Yeah. He went straight from that to somehow, you know, like when you're having a meltdown and he's found himself in a bit where he's going, "I'm actually doing very well," and you go, "I've got sort of make myself look a bit more humble." He was then going, "Did thousands of voiceovers. I used to do loads. I mean, the money was just... what are you doing?"
I know. It was another one of those one show moments where the guest completely alienates all of the viewers of the one show.
Massive.
He said, "Well, in the 90s, they were throwing money around. And I just turned up and there was money everywhere. We were all doing it." And you just think, there are people again in hospices and council houses, the one show's core crowd, watching this, just going, "What are you...
But it's a hilarious world. I mean, if you've done voiceovers, you know what it's...
Well, you can go just looking, you go in your pyjamas.
Well, you can. But also in the 90s, when it was in its sort of opulent, in the purplest patch of advertising, they would just throw money at these things. You'd have these extraordinary ads that... Well, it'd be an ad for gravy or something like that. And they would have Ridley Scott directing it. And you'd think, really? and you'd come in as the voice and you just do the last little bit. You're the last piece in the jigsaw.
I'm sure people will be wondering, are you going to be singing?
You'd think as well, like Alexander Armstrong, he does come from a spectacularly wealthy background. He lives in a mansion, you know. And you'd think, I've got a little bit of non-tone deafness about this. You'd think it weighs on you. But actually you realise he's just like, this is fucking wonderful.
And I'll
go in and my little anecdotes about how much money I made, even though I don't need any more.
Yeah.
And see the show.
What basically happened for a period of about 15 years, I hoovered up work each day, doing work that would feed a family of four for a year. And to me, it was just cigar money. And that was the 90s. Imagine how much I've got now.
But I should say also, the work was so easy.
Madness. The whole thing was awful.
I liked the bit with his tour, and it's a typical thing that when you do become very successful and you do become very wealthy, you don't you lack that edge. And so doing a stand-up tour for Alexander Armstrong is, you know, I don't think he's like, well, I want to really show the world what I've got. Because, again, he shows the world what he's got and everyone sort of goes, oh, I'll have a bit of that. Yeah. storm the fucking
kill him,
gates.
Eat him. Yes. Yeah.
But when he was talking about his stand-up show, which is called All Mouth and some Trousers. Wow, I can't wait to see what he does with that hour.
Angelica couldn't get the name of the show right. No.
He kept on saying we. So he'd say, he said, we needed a title. It covers what we're going to be doing on stage. Sorry, not we. I mean I. Yeah. And you only go from using we to I if you've said we, you didn't mean we, but it is we.
you know, no, basically, we needed a title. Yes. And that basically covers pretty much what we're going to be doing on the show. I will be doing on stage.
So I think he was letting on there that there's a big group of people who are in some way forming and shaping this show.
Massive.
That is what I took out of that extremely curious mention.
I'm who will not be on a royalty.
Fairly sure Alexander Armstrong didn't think, what the one thing I crave is a tour of regional theatre. to showcase what I can really do. Because I don't think the nation knows what I can really do. Nothing's captured the essence of Xander Armstrong yet. And this is going to be... What's really happened, of course, is that some big promoter's gone, we can make a fucking fortune with you.
The other thing is, if he'd have done it as a wee, he could have got Ben Miller back, and they could have done an Armstrong and Miller, which people would be keen to see. But, of course, unfortunately, that would mean half of the ticket
that's
income.
That's probably not going to fly.
Alexander doesn't like half of ticket income.
Well, in fairness, he's saving up because he's buying Hampshire, but... What I always hear about Xander, Des O'Connor, is I really want that to stick, the Des O'Connor thing, is, he's such a nice guy. I always get that. And and he works so hard. He works terribly hard. And that such a nice guy. If I had his money, I would automatically, wordlessly, fellate everyone I met because my life was so good. Yours should be as good as it can be right now, too. You know what I mean? Like, I would be beyond nice. I would not be this embittered old hag that I am. I would be so much nicer than Xander giving interviews to food magazines about his bespoke tea blend and how he wouldn't drink anything else.
I can't imagine you doing this on the sofa next to Nish Kumar.
I'll do it! Hello, Matt.
Matt, we did learn...
What are you doing?
We learned something.
Why do I like it? Oh, God, that's weird. I like it. I can't stop thinking about it now.
Well, he might have got a nosh off from you, but what we know is that Matt Baker...
Nosh Kumar.
Matt Baker has never had a takeaway delivered.
No.
You see, this is a thing, and people often laugh at me for this, but I've never ever had a takeaway delivered to my house.
Mainly because delivery can't find his farm.
Yes. It's one of those postcodes where it's the entire postcode and there's three houses. They are not going to bring you a KFC.
We deliver within a 20-mile radius, but that won't cover the front drive.
A takeaway from Matt is leaving the house and shooting a pig in the head.
Can we talk about the mashing of the two worlds quiz that they decided to bestow upon Alexander Armstrong and Nish Kumar, where it was the pointless mash or the pointless report.
Pointless reports.
It
did not make any sense.
No,
so it was time
filling. I mean, it didn't need to fill time because it was already overtime.
Yeah.
Yet they had to get this quiz in.
They'd show a photo from the news and go, so what's going on here? And there was a bloke holding up a WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether they'd been briefed or whether they thought...
This was
definitely not.
They definitely hadn't. And this is exactly the thing we were saying about comedians and what they assume. They're funny.
Yep.
And therefore, if we just spring this on them, they'll be absolutely hilarious. And what it did was shine a light on the fact that often with these things, they've looked at it before, seen it before, some writers have had to go, and now here's some jokes about it. Not flinging at them on live television, because neither of them came up with any kind of amusing answer whatsoever. And you could hear them desperately clawing...
First pointless report featured this photo. Here it is. Do you know what this is? Do you know what happened here? This man and his crisps.
Man's found a cashew nut and some what's it?
So the best Nish could come up with and then said it wrong, which made it far more funny than it actually was. Was this man holding up a what's it?
Yep.
And he said, man finds world's worst crip.
Is that the headline? World's worst man finds world's worst crip.
World's worst man finds world's worst crip. Crisp.
There was a two-tone lobster where half the lobster was black and the other bit was, you know, orange or sort of reddy brown. And I was like, how can you not get a single joke out of that that is a bit risque for 7 p.m. but would fly? How can you not? It's half black, it's half white. Nigel Farage has sent half of that back.
But as they say, you know, in every game show, it's a lot harder, isn't it, when you're playing it?
Yes, it is.
You're at home, Mark.
So easy to be on the sofa, you know. It's Matt actually did a joke at the end of this, and it went surprisingly well for a Matt joke.
Well, given the other two were professional comedians, Matt's joke was the best one, but I didn't imagine he came up with it himself on the spot.
No, a guy who collected house bricks, Nish Kumar did a classic comic strategy, which was the first thing he said, they had names on them, and he was like, that's his mother and father, or reunited with his parents. It didn't go well, but he kept pressing it, and sometimes when you keep pressing when it's gone badly, rather than dig yourself a hole, you can actually somehow begin floating. And he did floating.
What about this story? This was today, actually. Any idea what this
That is a man
about?
Whose mother and father are actually bricks. Just introduced to his birth parents. He was adopted, and now he's met his mum and dad, old Forth and Glenboig, and they're like, son, we are delighted to see you.
But Matt did the joke about collecting bricks. He went, he's collected so many bricks, he's now got a house. And the two of them sort of went, Matt looked like he was going to weep with joy. He began laughing at his own thing. Like, he didn't know it was going to be funny, but it worked. He's like, ha, 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 ha.
The theme tune for Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind comes a single tear.
Yeah.
This is Mark Cranston, who's in the papers today because he's been collecting bricks for 9 years and he now has a house. He now has 3,500.
I'll get the wolf away.
They had a really nice video after that bit, which was a film about an 84-year-old racing car driver called Philip Barak. Not interested in old people, not interested in racing cars. Somehow, he was the sweetest man I've ever seen on television. But he was absolutely the most delightful lad.
When I'm racing, I work to a strategy. I feel excited. I've got to try and get past everybody else. I don't think age comes into it. I think it's ability. I think people can be old at 30 and young at 80, from my experience anyway.
But as an OAP car racer, he did do the whole lap, including pulling off in third gear.
I'm just going to actually scrape out that joke that I'd written there. Mine ended at 12 miles an hour. No, I want him to live forever. I thought he was really nice.
No, he was. And he said it as well. I've been racing since I was a toddler. And I was thinking, is there toddler car racing?
I would watch that.
Bloody good.
But back in the 50s, there was. Of course, there was.
Rules were very different.
Yeah, they used to have it before the infant boxing.
But no, you're right. It was a classic off-the-shelf film. Of course it was. But that was fine. You're right. It was sort of nothing.
Oh yeah, I never want to watch it again.
I was quite alarmed when you were like, "Oh, this was really great." I was like,
There was a terrible piece earlier about a shopping biker about the high street.
Yes.
And the changing use of it through the last century. And amazingly, five different shops were in this shop, so it was shops. Right? there was nothing more to it than that.
It might look like an ordinary pub, but this building has a secret history.
This was originally the old building, but it's changed such a lot.
For over a century, the changing faces of this shopfront have told the tale of all our high streets.
Woolworths was my first job, and yes, I worked for Woolworths for 35 years.
This is the story of number 63 Shields Road in Byker, Newcastle-upon-Tyne, told by those who know it best.
Really, felt as though we'd hit the big time, really, having a place like this.
Well, I mean, they worked quite hard. They did the thing matching the old black and white photo over the shot.
Yep.
That's not that easy to do.
There was a lot of technical stuff going on here that I thought was quite impressive for the one shot.
I agree.
And they had actually tracked someone down who worked there in like the 40s. And so they had someone who'd worked at every single shop. And that's a lot of work. I mean, too much work
for
what it was.
I liked the little old lady when she went into the basement. They used to start mattresses over there. And the boys used to hide them. We had a lot of fun over there.
Yeah. She said the boys.
I bet you bloody
used to jump out on us.
Oh, wow, that's the old door where we used to come in. And this was the old storehouse. I had to walk all the way through here. There used to be piles of mattresses over there, and the lad used to crouch down behind those mattresses, jump out on us. Had a lot of fun over here.
Jump out on us, and then it cut to it in a pub, which is the Wetherspoons, now called the Rapey Geordies.
Do you know what? Heartbreaking, though, is they showed all these shops, and as time goes on, they look shitter and shitter.
Yeah.
But they brought all the people back who had never been there, you know, since it had changed from what they did. Yeah. And every time these people would come back, they'd be in a room where half of the room would be caved in, the carpet had been ripped up, there was like graffiti on, you know, bits of the wall, there's just shit everywhere, you know, like old mops and stuff. And they'd stand in those rooms and go, oh, this used to be so beautiful. And it's like, well, yeah, this, welcome to 100 years, the progress we have made, everything that was beautiful has become more and more awful and appalling, and it's only going to get worse. Back to Matt.
We met a man who ran a decorating store out of it as well.
Which was not
greatest
real.
Name in the world.
Which was not real.
And they didn't reference it, they just said, this is Fred Fagg.
Oh, sorry, that's the first draft of this comedy script. Let me go back over that one.
But Decor Flair. And they were like, it was a huge national chain. I was like, bullshit! I've never heard of Decor Flair!
But then they were very keen, and they said he was obviously put out of business by the warehouse...
Out-of-town
retail park DIY shops. Now, they've been banging on about Deliveroo by name, but they won't say B&Q.
No, what? Crazy.
Where's the rule?
Is B&Q even still going? Hasn't that gone now? So you could.
B&Q does exist.
What's the one it replaced?
Home Base has gone, I think, has it?
I miss MFI and Do It All.
Oh, well, we'll make a little... Do you know what? We should actually pitch for you to go on the One Show and you could do a thing about
who remembers
Do It All.
Yeah.
I had sex in this car park.
That's right. I got arrested for wanking on that bench. And that one.
It was nice as
one.
Well that, thank God though, I mean, a ray of light is that Matt Baker knows entirely how to solve the problem of the high street.
Oh, absolutely. Without Matt, I think this country would be destined for a bigger retail nightmare than it is. But let the date go down in history, as last Friday's One Show, Matt absolutely came up with a solution to the whole thing.
Good work for keeping that building alive. I think I've got a solution for the high street, actually. This is a serious one. I think they should have free parking all the way along.
Good
high street.
Idea.
Because it's driving people away, the cost of parking, you know. You watch what happens. Free parking, all the shops will
get some good fights as well.
So that was him talking about the solution to the high street.
Free parking.
Free parking. All down free the side. Parking. All down the side.
For free parking.
All down the side.
You just do it and you'll see, he said.
Yeah, you'll see what happens.
Ah, someone's got a little bit of power, haven't they? They've got a bit. They go out on television like Noel Edmonds ended up doing, telling off people for doing their jobs in local council and threatening them. It's a matter of time.
I think I've got it. Helipads.
Yeah, just stop closing the shops.
Yeah.
And then they'll be open.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Use your noggin.
Maybe they establish a police state like China where the internet's governed by... Yeah.
The fact that he hates the city as well, which is quite remarkable for him to save the high street. Perhaps he just wants to get everyone to go to the high street and then, you know, drop a dead pig on it and explode it or something. A fat member of Westlife just dropped in to decimate a town centre.
Worth saying as well, just one video we haven't talked about. This was on, I think... Friday show.
Yep.
They had another one of those awful videos where children are encouraged to grass up their parents.
Oh, right.
And all they basically do is the kids sort of sit there and go, daddy does all the cooking because mummy is terrible at cooking. And the parents sit there and go, that's not fucking true.
Yes.
Fucking, that's when I get home, I'm going to fucking leather that one.
Yeah. And can I just say, because in every project I've worked in broadcasting, this has always been an issue, but... there was not a BAME face in sight.
Very true. The last time we saw this video when they did it, it was about someone whose stepdad was guffing. That was one of the low points in British television history.
Wasn't that George Clooney was on, wasn't he?
That's right. George Clooney had to sit through that. Yeah. The thing I did like about this is they had a couple who were, you know, nice, good value in the way they responded to their kids. And one of the kids said, oh, yeah, you know, our daddy does all the cooking, but he only does the stuff that he likes doing. And it cut to his father, and his father went, this is a myth.
I'll see you in court. That slander.
This is a myth. I can't stop thinking about that. This is a myth.
Mum's definitely the boss around the house.
That's right, that's me.
Dad loves not being the boss.
He gets to do all the things he loves because he gets to cook. He likes doing cooking.
Do this
all
is
the
a
cleaning.
Myth.
This is the type of story that was foretold by the Barb.
I just want to go back and mention the bit on Thursday when, I think it was Thursday, when they cut to the Watchdog studio.
Oh, that was useless.
With Matt.
Matt Allwright.
Matt Allwright.
And dresses then like a tinker.
Yeah, but they got
lives on a houseboat.
They got...
fixes your watering can.
They got into it with some newspaper cutting.
Yeah.
Where Matt Allwright had been in the news for some reason. I don't know, being a...
He killed a woman.
Yeah. With a hammer. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they used a picture of an actor who looked a bit like Matt Allwright.
Yeah.
And that was a non... There was nothing to that. And then...
This whole thing of giving a little bit of a pre-roll for Watchdog coming up at 8.
Yeah.
So what are the big stories you've got on? That interconnected thing. Yeah. No one gives a fuck. No one wants to watch Watchdog. He then comes on and just sort of goes, you know, your smoke alarm, not going to save your children. They can't hear the frequency.
Yeah.
You will need to watch tonight.
Absolutely shocking stuff tonight. It turns out the smoke alarm that's in your home probably won't wake up your kids in the event of a fire. And that is the really worrying thing. Because of the frequency at which smoke alarms operate, they are designed to wake up adults, but they don't work quite so effectively. With 8 children that we tested, 7 didn't wake up. 1 woke up, got a teddy, went back to sleep again. So that's stuff you really have to watch.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
But just on that, are your children sleeping alone in your house?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Would you not, if you heard the fire alarm, maybe go and get your kids? Or just be like, well, fuck them, I'm off.
Jake, they didn't hear it. Tough shit.
I am doing enough setting a fire in my house for the insurance money. Right? If the kids don't come down, on their heads be it.
They've got to learn.
The big thing is, it's smacked of all right going, okay, so your smoke alarm, your children will die because research has discovered that the frequency is too high for kids to hear. They don't wake up. So do watch it and find out what to do. And the answer will be, buy one of my new smoke detectors from Allwright Smoke Detectors. Make sure your kids are all right with Matt Allwright's
kid-friendly
smoke detectors.
Yeah. They really personalise it as well, don't they? Your kids, your death.
Now.
Yes. You're going, if, now. You, if you don't watch Watchdog, this is a guarantee, you will all die. You. See you at 8.
And that seems like a good place to bring this week's proceedings to a close. Remember to tell your friends about this podcast and please rate and review The One Show on iTunes, because that helps us out and annoys the tits off Matt Baker. But while you're remembering that, also remember this and remember it well. When you look at the television to look at The One Show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello and welcome to the Musical Podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave.
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah. We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.